Well, it's 10 o'clock, and we're back in the book of Galatians, page 11 of our notes. And I trust you have a page of notes. And I know Brother Merle Dye from SIM gave you some good ministry on the subject of missions, because he's a veteran missionary, and he's been a missionary in at least two countries in Africa, Ethiopia, and also in the Sudan. And he also has visited numerous countries there in regards to the work of the missions. And I praise God for our brother Merle Dye. And a nice letter was written and read on this past Wednesday night by our brother. Now we're going to read beginning in verse 1 of Galatians 5. I know the top of our notes on page 11 begin at verse 5, but we want to read beginning at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you to the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Remember to pray for Mrs. R.L. Mann. She's in Duke Hospital. She's in, her room number is 9125 North. 9125 North. And Steve and Cheryl, I think, saw her last night. And I just spoke with Steve, and he said she's doing pretty good. But she was a very sick lady when I saw her the other day. And then our brother Job is going to have surgery this week. Remember him in your prayers. And Lillian Elliott came through her surgery well. However, her blood pressure was very high yesterday, and they didn't let her go home. She was hoping to go home yesterday morning, but her blood pressure was really up. So remember to pray one for another. Mrs. Stafford isn't doing any better, and she's about the same, and I don't expect her really to get any better because of her age and the other things that all the complications involved there. Pray for him. And he's there day by day. But also, we need to thank the Lord for the good woman that they have who stays there during the day, who does a lot of the work and cooks, and is a real good companion for Mrs. Stafford, which enables him to get out a little bit. So we just thank the Lord for his grace, which provides these things. Now let's just pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow to thank Thee and to praise Thee for Thy matchless grace. Who can be compared to Thee? Thou art high above all. Thou art all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. And Thou art with us this morning because You never leave and You never forsake Your people. And You have promised that where two or three are gathered in Your name, You are in the midst. And we thank You, our Father, for the riches of grace and for Your kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And we ask You now that You will bless the Word in a most unique way as we concentrate on the problems of the Galatian churches. May we realize that these same problems exist today. More subtle, maybe, but yet they are there. And we ask You for wisdom in order that we may see the enemy and fortify ourselves in that grace which Thou hast given us in Christ Jesus. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to tell you that I had a good 2 weeks of meetings in Bermuda. It's a strange time of the year to go there in August. The humidity is high and it's hot. But I thought that going at a strange time, the Lord must be in this. And I could tell that He was before I left because of the way in which I had to battle the enemy. Whenever there is going to be a spiritual victory, you're going to have to deal with the enemy. The enemy does not give up easily. I'll just report one victory. There were quite a few, and I had the best meetings I ever had in Bermuda. The air conditioning was off two nights. And in Bermuda, you don't take off your coat. It's British. Now, they'll come in Bermuda shorts, but the men will have a coat on. It's their culture, you know. It's British, but you don't take off your coat. And I tell you, I can feel the water just running down my back. But the Lord was with us and blessed in a most unique way. On last Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, a week back, 2 weeks back or whenever, the last week I was there, the son of the people that I stayed with, the first time I went to Bermuda, he was in a baby coach. I played soccer with that boy on the lawn. But he had made a profession when he was very young. And they sent him to Europe to school. In the best schools of Europe. But, I tell you, he was a real prodigal. He hardly spoke with his parents. He hardly spoke to me. But I made him speak. I wouldn't let him go without it. And he came on the Tuesday night. He said, "Uncle Phil, I'm coming to the meeting tonight." He told me that at the supper table. And he came. And when he came out the door and he grabbed my hand, I knew that the Lord had done a work. Just the way He shook my hand. That night I went up to my room. I had to get these wet clothes off. And when I went up, I just put my pajamas on and was lying on the bed, reading. And I thought it was his dad who rapped on the door because he often comes in and we pray for a while. I said, "Come on in." And when he came in, here was a boy. And for 2 hours or more, he just poured out his soul. And I tell you, if you could have heard that boy pray afterward. You see, he had a good background. He hit the ground running, as it were, spiritually. because he had learned a lot as a boy in the assembly. And now God dealing with his heart. And it was a mighty victory, and I tell you, and to listen to him talking with his dad and his mother. It was great. It was just great to see a transformed life. And I longed to see that. But one of the other things that was a blessing was the unity between Paget Assembly and the two other assemblies, White Hill, and also, a number of other assemblies are people who came all the way down near St. George's at a place called Crawl Gospel Chapel. There they don't have any music. They don't have a piano. Everything is a cappella. But one of the men who goes there came out, and he's the head of the education department for the island of Bermuda. Very intelligent man. And his brother came out. His brother is a beekeeper, plus some other occupation that he has. And he said he gave me a jar of honey from Bermuda. And I told him, my neighbor's a beekeeper. And he sent him a jar of honey with me. He said, honey from Bermuda. And my neighbor looked at it. He said, boy, that's clear honey. I said, yeah, that's good, too. good honey, honey from Bermuda. But anyway, I just praise the Lord that I was able to go. And those of you who kidded me about going on vacation, it was a great vacation. Anytime I can see the blessing of the Lord, you can call it anything you want, and it suits me. You can call it vacation, you can call it hard work, you can call it anything you want. But if I can see the blessing of the Lord, and I long to see that here. I long to see the Lord come in real blessing. Our God is able. He's able. Well, we're in Galatians chapter 5, we're on page 11. Notice the introduction on the top of the page. Keep in mind what the problem in Galatia was. Paul had gone to the churches of Galatia and he established them on his first missionary journey, Acts chapter 13 and 14. Paul established the churches of Galatia. And after Paul established them, Judaizing teachers. Now, Judaizing teachers were those who followed Paul's steps and who tried to bring believers who were saved by grace and put them back under the law. Yes, you're saved by grace, but you must do certain things to keep yourself saved. And one of those things was circumcision. Except ye be circumcised, you can't be saved. And you remember the Jerusalem conference. Acts chapter 15, where Paul dealt with this subject, and we took it up and we studied the second chapter. Now, anyone else who, in our day, and there are many, who teach that there are certain things that you have to do to keep yourself saved after you're saved, by grace, it throws you back under what we call Galatian error. And then you begin measuring your life by a set of rules. And you begin measuring your life by what somebody else says. And it's a matter of trying to please somebody else rather than the Lord. And it's living under somebody else's standard. And down through the years, there has been much of this. I could give you a funny story. And now that I've gone this far, I'm going to. Women used to be the object of a lot of preachers preaching. And John R. Rice wrote a book. I don't know if it's a book or a pamphlet. I never read it. But it's called Bobbed Hair, Bossy Wives, and Women Preachers. That was the name of the book written by John R. Rice. but there's a lot that used to preach against women and their hairdos. That used to be a popular subject in certain areas among old timey priests, and it becomes legalism. In fact, there were some who didn't like the idea of women who had a knot on the top of their hair, had their long hair, but they just had it fixed in a knot. So they took those verses out of the 24th chapter of Matthew, believe it or not. Now, you talk about straining at a gnat. In Matthew 24, where it speaks of the abomination of desolation that's going to stand in the holy place, there's a little verse that says, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take something out of the house. So they took those words, top, not, come down, and made a sermon out of it. I tell you, there used to be a joke when I was a younger man, among certain older men that used to say, is he going to preach on top, not come down? It's amazing what certain men will do when it comes. They'll just take out of the scriptures whatever they want, whether it fits or whether it doesn't fit. And, of course, people who like to rule other people in telling them what to do and what not to do. And if they're strong-willed, you see, they put other people under their thumb. And that's what is known as legalism. And legalism is a very deadly thing. Paul, in this chapter, in the fifth of Galatians, he shows that we who are in Christ have been called to liberty. And that liberty that we have through the gospel is a liberty of conscience and a liberty that enables us to please God and to worship God because we want to. And because God has given to us of His Spirit. And we don't measure our lives by what somebody else says or by what somebody else does. Now, what somebody else says, we should take into consideration if they are people who truly love us. However, when it comes to living before God and being accepted with God, the set of rules are gone. We worship God in spirit. Now, notice the introduction again. Amid all the problems that arise because of those who desire to be under the law, grace gives a believer a genuine outlook and desire. In other words, we have a genuine desire to honor God and to please God. Notice the verse. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness. How? By faith. How do we wait? We simply believe God and we keep on going. That's what it's saying. We simply believe what God says. Now, notice, remember chapter 3, verse 2, when we went over it. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. In other words, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by something you did? Or is it something you believed because of what you heard? Paul proclaimed the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You see, this attitude flows from the Spirit in the heart, which is a result of grace, not obedience to law works. It is grace. 'Tis grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Tis grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray. Grace, grace, grace. Now notice the practice of love. Number one, faith working by love is far greater than measuring ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves. When we start measuring ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves, it produces something. It produces something that is a rottenness of the bones, according to the book of James, envy. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. And we measure ourselves by ourselves and among ourselves, we become envious of each other. And the Word of God says we shouldn't do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. We are not of that number who measure themselves by themselves and among themselves, Paul says. But now notice, number 2, the methods of exclusion. Chapter 4, verse 17. Notice verse 17. It's back chapter 4, verse 17. Excuse me. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. Now, what do we mean by that? Exclusion. Now, I was a director of the Youth Congress at Greenwood Hills. On a Friday night, we had young people coming from New England, up and down the East Coast, as far west as Grand Rapids, Michigan. And these were high school and college students. Senior high and college. And of course, they'd be coming in on the Friday night. And on the Friday night, we had a get-together night. And there's one game I used to love to play. It's a game that is called exclusion. Nobody wants to be excluded from something. People want to be on the in with somebody else. And what these Judaizers did was excluded others. And by excluding them, it made them all the more desirous to get in. You see. And it's only grace that'll teach you, and a good dose of grace. When I say a good dose, I mean a good dose that you realize that you have everything in Christ. That's the best dose you can ever get. And no matter what people do in excluding you, it doesn't matter. I have the best already. You can't exclude me from anything. I already have it all. I have Christ. And in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Him are you complete. Now this is a tricky thing that is done by the so-called charismatic movement. I got something you don't have. I've had the baptism of the Spirit. Have you? You see? And it's excluding other people. You haven't had that experience? Oh, you don't know what you're missing. You follow what I'm saying? And we can fall into the trap. We can fall into the trap of Judaizers. Beloved, if you're saved, there are things that you shouldn't want. And one of the things that you shouldn't want is a religious experience that you already have. When I say you shouldn't want it, I mean this. No one has anything to offer you that you don't already have. And by going after something just to be included and to be able to say, yes, I have it. When they say that to me, have you been baptized? Have you got the baptism of the Spirit? I say, yes, I got the same day Peter did. I got it the same day Peter did. That's what I tell them. And I say, when did you get it? You see, what really took place? What is the baptism of the Spirit? And when I tell you that, I'm telling them the truth. I'm not making something up. It's not tricky. I was baptized with the Spirit the same day Peter was. Make no mistake about it. When was Peter baptized with the Spirit? On the day of Pentecost. What did God do on the day of Pentecost? He formed one body that was called the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether you be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. In other words, that body was formed on the day of Pentecost. And you can't, and you can't dismember the body. And when I was saved, I came into the good of what took place back there. I was just added to the body, that's all. But the body had already been formed by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. You see, that verse I quoted is in 1 Corinthians 12. But 1 Corinthians 10 comes before 1 Corinthians 12. Now that's a lot of logic. That's good logic. 10 comes before 12. In 1 Corinthians 10, what do you have? In the opening verses, know ye not that all our fathers were under the cloud? They all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Ooh, the baptism of Moses. Well, what was the baptism of Moses? They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's very simple. Who's he talking about? He's talking about a group of slaves that came out of the land of Egypt, whom God redeemed. And what happened at the Red Sea? They were unified into one body with Moses as their leader. Now, my great illustration. Suppose a child was born in the wilderness, for they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And a child, we'll call him Johnny. So can you imagine a woman taking little Johnny up to Moses and say, Mr. Moses, I want you to take Johnny back to Egypt. And I want you to bring him through the Red Sea. I want him to have a Red Sea experience. Can you imagine him doing that? No, never in your life. Why not? When he was born in the wilderness, that boy was born into all the past history of the nation. And when I was placed into the body of Christ, the day that I was saved, I was placed in there into the whole past history of the Church of Jesus Christ. To learn this truth is indeed blessed. And methods of exclusion. And I'll tell you, when we'd play this game at Greenwood Hills, no one wanted to be excluded. But they all were. They were, one at a time, excluded. You see, we'd form groups. They had to form groups of so many in the group. And as they were formed, we say eight. And eight people would run together. And if there were nine, and one guy was excluded. And he tried to get in another group, but they already formed. And another group had already formed. And all the groups were formed. And, boy, he's excluded. You're out. It's an awful thing to be excluded. The worst place to be excluded from is the body of Christ, not to be saved. That's the one place you want to be included. By the new birth. And I'm in. And you can exclude me from everything else because I already got the best. I already got the best. Now, we move on. Notice three and four. These Galatians were hindered, not by the Lord, but by Satan, who was using false teachers. And I'll tell you, the activity of Satan is very, very real. And the way in which he uses false teachers. Now, friends, I only have one enemy. And I don't have any other enemies. Only one. And that enemy is Satan. Another Christian is never my enemy. Now, Satan may use another believer, but that believer is never the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And we got to recognize the enemy for who he is. And these Galatians were hindered, but they weren't hindered by the Lord. That's why the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 is so important to be wearing every day. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So another Christian can never be my enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Another Christian is flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Now notice, number 4. Because of this, Paul says to them, in verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who called us? We were called by God into the fellowship of his Son. In other words, this desire to go back into legalism, to go back under the law, it doesn't come from God, but it comes from someone else. And then he asks the question, or he makes a statement in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven is that which works in bread, in the making of bread, yeast. You see, and just a little bit of it will permeate the whole loaf. And it takes the fire of the oven to get rid of the leaven. Now he says, number 4 in Scripture, or on your page, leaven in Scripture is a symbol of evil. A little evil permitted will permeate the whole. A little evil. The woman of Matthew 13 who hid leaven in 3 measures of meal. What was a meal? The meal was the food for the priests. And a woman did it. And the whole was leavened. Now notice, in Scripture, there are 5 areas of leaven. Notice, the leaven of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 12, verse 1, is hypocrisy. B, the leaven of the Sadducees, Matthew 16, verse 6, false doctrine. The Sadducees didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in spirits, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. Third, there's the leaven of Herod, Mark 8, verse 15. That's world conformity. The Word of God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Then you have the leaven of sin in the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. The man who committed immorality and was permitted to remain in the church. And it wasn't judged. No discipline was exercised. And 1 Corinthians 5 speaks of the leaven. If that is permitted, it will permeate the whole lump. The whole church will be permeated by that sin. And then, last of all, E, there's a leaven of legalism. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. This idea of going back under the law and let the preacher be the judge of the measuring line. You see, it gives a preacher a lot of authority to rule with an iron hand over others. But you see, it'll permeate the whole lump. The leaven of legalism. It's hard to imagine this, but I told you this story before of this one group of Mennonites. They're known as Horning Mennonites. They paint the chrome on the car black. You know, most of their cars are black. But they paint the bumpers black. That chrome is a symbol of worldliness. And we can't have worldliness. And I worked on a job where the group of these men were bricklayers. And, of course, the bishop is a bricklayer. He was right there. And the hod carrier, his name is Sattler. My buddy said to him, Sattler, the chrome's coming off of your bumper. said, yeah, he said, I waxed it real good before I put it on. I mean, the paint's coming off your bumper. He said, I waxed it real good before I painted it. See, he didn't want it on in the first place. But he had to conform to the bishop. And I can tell you, these bishops, they don't know how to really smile. You know, when you work on a big construction job, you drink right out of the hose, the water hose that's usually in the sticking by the end in the barrel where they pull out the buckets of water to mix the mortar. And I was waiting to get the hose. He was drinking. And I said to him, boy, if I drink out of that hose, I'm going to get the same thing you got. You know, I couldn't get his attention any other way. Couldn't get it with the Word of God, so I thought I'd say that to him. If I drink out of that hose, I'm going to get the same thing you got. And he said in a real Dutchified way, he said, well, it isn't going to hurt you. I said, I expect to get water. What did you get? That's the only time I ever saw that guy smile. It's the only time he ever smiled. And I remember talking with a girl that went to his church. She was a servant in a dentist's home where I did some work. And I asked her if she was a member of the church. And she said, yes. I said, do you have a radio? See, you're not allowed to have a radio. And she said, no, but my brother does. Is he a member of the church? Yeah. I said, what does he do when he goes to before the bishop before communion? You see, before they are permitted to take communion, they have to appear before the bishop. And one of the questions the bishop asks is, do you have a radio? A radio is worldly. He said, no, yeah, he went before the bishop, but he took care of that. He sold it to my little brother, who's not a member of the church, for a nickel. And then he bought it back after communion. You see, people do all sorts of things. Why? To be accepted. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What was that boy's mind on? It wasn't on remembering the Lord. It wasn't on the work of Christ. It was on his radio. And how he sold it, he was able to fool the bishop. But you see, nothing about God, the omniscience of God, or the greatness of God, it was set on somebody else. And these, now while we know about them, how do we do? What do we do? Maybe we have other means. You know, one of the greatest blessings in Bermuda was a widow woman who has Parkinson's disease, and she walks like this with a cane, very carefully. She came back from Canada for the meetings. She never missed a meeting. And you have to go up a set of stairs to get to their auditorium. She was there every time. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. You see, we put all sorts of things in the way of the blessing of God. We can look down at the Horning Mennonites and say, oh my. But what about us? You see, we might be doing the same thing in another way. And you see, other people accept our excuses. But is God going to accept them? Are we real in our approach to God? In our belief concerning his omniscience and his omnipotence. Is he all-powerful or is he not? And therefore, with these things before us. Now notice, Paul makes a statement in verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision. Why do I yet suffer persecution? For that, see, these Judaizing teachers were persecuting Paul at every opportunity they had. Paul said, now look, if I preach circumcision, why am I persecuted? He's trying to make them think. But then he adds something else. And he says in the end of that verse, then is the offense of the cross preached. The offense of the cross is the fact that it lays all men low before God. Notice on your paper, number 5, the preaching of circumcision, the preaching of law works, the preaching of salvation by works. Did you ever notice this? Now watch this. About certain class of people, they'd sooner talk about the baptism of the Spirit than the work of Christ. They'd sooner talk about their experience than about what Christ has accomplished on the cross. And that is something to keep before you. Now notice, all the way A through G, the cross is offensive to human pride. Grace is free. The human heart is corrupt. And man cannot have part in his salvation. You see, the cross levels man. And that's the offense of the cross. You can't have part in it. You see, salvation is all of God. B, the cross is an offense to morality. Our good works cannot justify before God. Notice, character may get you to hell, but never to heaven. DGB means Donald Gray Barnhouse, the man who said that. Character can take you to hell, but it will never take you to heaven. Your good works will never save you. C, the cross is an offense to philosophy. Philosophy appeals to human reason, but the cross appeals to faith. D, the cross is an offense to culture. Its truths are revealed to the simple. E, the cross is an offense to our sense of caste. God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. James chapter 2, verse 5. F, the cross is an offense to the human will. It calls for unconditional surrender. Man is saved by the divine will. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. G, the cross is an offense to the man himself. It declares that men are dead in trespasses and sins, even while possessing physical life. The cross, the offense of the cross, that doesn't mean that we should be offensive. The cross will do its work. The cross is an offense to man. You and I are to speak the truth in love. The cross will do its work. Now, notice 6. Paul's protest is real for 3 reasons. A, if salvation is by the law, we are under the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. B, if salvation is by works, grace is destroyed. Romans 11, verse 6. And C, if salvation is by works, then the cross of Jesus Christ is a great blunder. In other words, if man could save himself, then God wasted his time when he sent the Lord Jesus in the incarnation in order that he might die for sinners. That's what Paul is preaching. And you see, the cross is so important. Now let's pray together. Father, we ask you that you will take this word and bless it to every heart. May the name of our God be exalted and honored. May it please you to work in our midst that which is well pleasing to you. We thank you for each one that has come, and we pray for those.